I want to speak to you on the preeminence of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1:17, we read, "In all things he must have the preeminence." First, the preeminence of his name. How few are attracted by that name. Some revere it, some sneer at it, and even blaspheme it. But thank God there are some who own and honor it. In a little country school, a teacher asked the class who Jesus Christ was, and a little boy spoke up and said, "Why, that's a swear word." What a reflection on the home he was reared in. Yet sad to say, that child is not the only one of its kind. Many children today, instead of being taught the glory and worth of the name of the Lord Jesus, are taught to abuse, dishonor, and belittle it by the use their parents make of it in cursing and swearing. Remember, the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. His name should have preeminence far beyond that of a mother, father, or wife, or any other relative or personality. What decent man would tolerate the use of his wife's or mother's name in such a foul and disrespectful manner as they use the name of the Lord Jesus? To swear is neither brave, polite, or wise. Do not think that God will not deal with such sacrilege. Yet, thank God, in spite of all the abuse and shame that has been heaped upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is still preeminent. It is the wisest known and the best loved and most outstanding name in all the world. Not even the bitterest opponent can deny this. Its praises are sung every day throughout the world. Why, from every quarter of the globe ascend songs of gladness from the lips of those whose lives have been lightened with the knowledge of that name. To this I can add my own personal testimony. Years ago, that name became precious to me. With shame of face and blushing cheek, I admit I used that name unworthily before I was saved, but thank God I can use it in praise now. The name of Christ is in fact above every name. The press never stops printing books and tracts of which he is the theme. Poets sing his praise, and sacred poetry, and in solemn hymns. Artists find inspiration in the incidents of his life and death for their great masterpieces. Daily tens of thousands of teachers and preachers go forth, often asking no reward, to proclaim his name and speak of his dying love. Martyrs triumphed in the flame or endured patiently in dungeons. And unnumbered hosts have suffered the loss of all things for love of his name, desiring only the privilege of spending and being spent for his sake. There is no sphere of human life or activity in which his name is not the one of greatest influence and power of righteousness and goodness. Napoleon, while exiled at St. Helena, said, "Alexander, Caesar, Charlie May, and myself have founded empires upon force, but Jesus Christ alone founded his empire upon love. And at this hour, millions of men would die for him." How true! The name of great leaders have inspired and influenced their armies to gallantry and valor, but surely the name of the preeminent of leaders has excelled them all. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ will teach you to love truth and hate hypocrisy and superstition and to judge righteous judgment. Might well tell me, the great preacher, say there is no name like his for us. It is more imperial than Caesar's, more musical than Beethoven, more conquering than Charlemagne, more eloquent than Cicero's. It throbs with all life, it weeps with all pathos, it groans with all pain, it stoops with all condescension, it breathes with all perfume. Who like Jesus to set a broken bone, to pity a homeless orphan? Who like him to nurse a sick man, to take a prodigal back without any scolding, to loom a cemetery all plowed with graves, to make a queen unto God out of the lost women of the street, to catch the tears of human sorrow in a bottle that never shall be broken? Who has such an eye to see our need, such a lip to kiss away our sorrows, and such a hand to snatch us out of the fire? such a foot to trample our enemies, and such a heart to embrace all our necessities, even ourselves. What a name! None can equal it. It is indeed preeminent. It is a tremendous claim that in all things he must have the preeminence. But the wonderful truth is that it must be accorded to him. Nothing noble, beautiful, or worthy in the world exists that must not ascribe to him the first place in influence and power. He is the outstanding figure in history, the greatest person in the world of men. He is to use his own words, which express better than any other this exalted claim. He says, I am the light of the world. Where is any rival? Who will come forward to dispute the fact that even now in this sin-troubled world that rejects Christ's claim, he is the first, the preeminent one? But his preeminence is something far greater than all this. True, his place of influence in the world is assured as the first and the highest, but there are glories far beyond that in which he stands out preeminent and alone. There are his words. The beauty of his words are unequaled in all scripture, in all literature. The convincing power of them is absent from other writings. What comfort for the weary, what hope for the sinful, what solemn warnings to the rebel, what promises for the seeker, what assurance for the believer, what prospects for the future. Search the myriad books of the world and see if any can hold a candle to this preeminence of teachers. Time fails to say much more beyond this name and his words. Lie his works preeminent in every respect. But I close this message with those words in Philippians 2:9-11, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How wonderful that is to think our Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest in name. He's the greatest in works. He's the greatest in works. God says his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The angel announced his name to be called Jesus, for he should save his people from their sins. What a name he bears after the death of an infidel who for many years tried to convince himself that there was no importance to that name. The following words were found by his wife, written by him before his death. I've tried in vain 1,000 ways my fears to quell, my hopes to raise. But what I need, the Bible says, is ever only Jesus. And so do you, my friend, make him yours now by faith.